if you're interested in this hymn book that I have so much fun with, you can pass it around. I don't know if you probably, some of you might know it
or been familiar with it.
No, I like the title. I really like this. Check that out. Oh, there's something here. What does this mean here? I could have asked my wife.
That's the meter of it.
Oh, the meter.
Yeah, you have 11 syllables and then 10 or 6 and then you know, whatever it says, you just you count it out per line.
That's what it would be. She's a pianist. She knows.
Oh yeah, she would have known. We have one young lady that's in our church. She's a Sunday school teacher. She's just a young adult. Josh Nanniger's met her when he was, his dad was a pastor out west, and he went back out and got her and got married when he got older. And so Abby Nanniger is 16 years, studied piano and plays. She does a magnificent job in our church besides my wife. And then we have Josh himself. Now Josh plays by ear and chord. So everything in the hymn book, he has to set to chords, and the rest of it takes over by ear. And so once he gets the chords in there, he's fine. He can play that song just like if he could read the music. And so he does not read music like his wife does, or my wife, and some of the other piano players in the church, like Josh's sister, she also plays. And so we're gifted with musicians for a small church. And my only job with music is if I have to fill in a song leader. and of course, I took that in seminary, and I'm fine with that, and I've done it for years. And I also was a choir director for 10 years, so I can handle music, but it's just not my forte. There's others in the church that are really, really good. They're really good with music, and they know what they're doing with it. The one young lady is a flautist. She plays the flute, and her sister goes to another church, plays also, and sometimes they show up together and play at our church. So we've got some really gifted people in our small church. I'm going to minister to you a message called Set Apart for God. And I've been wrestling with what to preach. David and I prayed over it this morning, and I just decided I'm just going to preach this. It's a new one. And sometimes the Lord just wants you to get it off your chest. Set apart for God. And so I bring several of these notebooks with me, and I look at them, and I go through them, and I think about them, and then they're old messages. They're good messages. The Lord had to work them out in my heart, in my mind, and in my soul, and I've used them to minister. But this sometimes the new message just wins out. And so that's where we're going to go. We're going to go with 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Timothy 1 out. I wanted to bring you the message on living epistles, and I love to preach that, but this seems to be what the Lord wants me to do. I better get busy with it. 2:21. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meant for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So we need to understand the separated life. We need to understand the sanctified life. And so this is a message that I put together for the nursing home, the sanctified life. And that even in the nursing home, there is a lot of distraction from living the separated life, the sanctified life. And you say, how can that be possible? Because you can't go anywhere. You're stuck there. Other than I used to take some of them out to dinner, and then that was a real privilege to get permission from the nursing home, because you had to know what you could feed them and how you could take care of them if you took them off the premises and took them out to dinner. And so I used to do that for certain residents because I had to know exactly how to take care of them when they were under my care. But they love that. They love getting out. But for the most part, how do they struggle having a separated life in a nursing home? Well, I can tell you, in this modern age, they constantly play the television. They never shut that thing off. And now they got the flat screen, and they're everywhere. And it's not anything that should be there 24/7. You know, it's just terrible how they inundate, however you say that word, they just bombard them with that television constantly, and the separated life, you would literally have to take the remote and turn it off, and make sure that you were away from all the other televisions and all the other distractions, because the separated life cannot be truly accomplished with the distraction of the world. You literally have to be alone with the Lord. You have to take time to think with the Lord. Now, I know I go down the road driving my truck, and I talk to the Lord all the time. They probably think I'm crazy. The truck drivers are watching me close enough. But that I can do without being distracted driving. I don't know how I accomplish that, because I cannot play the radio. The radio distracts me when I drive. I have to have the radio off. But I can talk to myself all day long as I'm talking to the Lord. It seems to comfort me and keeps me focused. And so I'm preaching to you a message where you cannot be distracted, and you cannot, but you do have to be focused. And so that's one of the things that really I just enjoy when I drive truck, is that I can stay focused with the Lord and talk to Him. And this thing of pray without ceasing, that's a true saying in the Bible. That's a true truth in the Bible. You can literally pray without ceasing. Right. You do not have to have your prayer closet. Now, I'm not saying that you should not have your prayer closet, but I am saying that you have the privilege to pray anywhere and at any time and with any means. And mainly that means is that you're with the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have that separation. The separated life is a deliberate thing. You cannot just practice the separated life and with the idea that you can fit into the world at the same time. Nah, it doesn't work that way. Matter of fact, a lot of Christians try that, and they do that. And you know that they are not fully equipped to answer to the Lord. They're not fully equipped to measure up to a personal witness. And that's the problem in the nursing home. But these residents are constantly being distracted. They're not allowed to many times to be to themselves as much as they should be as far as being Christians in the nursing home. And one of the things that's really nice for them is if you come in and you separate them, and they love that. They will thank you for taking the time to be with them alone. And then they also appreciate being taken and set apart and be quiet with them. And they love just being able to look out and enjoy the same old things they've been looking at, but with someone else in their presence to allow them to communicate around the Word of God. And so there is a real privilege of not just going there and with the mindset, oh, I'm going to minister to them. And that's what all they need, you know. No, you need to have fellowship with them. You need to read the Psalms to them. You need to read the Proverbs to them. You need to share events in the Bible, because a lot of the events in the Bible are exciting. I mean, they're not boring at all. I don't know, the spiritual life, if you really are separated to live a life, a spiritual life, it is not going to be boring. God is not a boring God. If the word great is in the Bible, and it is, that means he's not boring. And so some people are just plain too lazy to figure that out. And a lot of times it's Christians that are guilty of this. They're just too lazy to figure it out. They just can't stand it in the service more than 45 minutes. Amen. 45 minutes to kill.
Amen.
But you can't be that way in the separated life. You have to be patient with the Word of God. You have to be patient with your own salvation. Patience is a valuable thing. In a nursing home, you would think their patience is being sold, because it's just so instituted. You know, you're confined.
Right.
But it doesn't have, you don't have to let that be a formality. Mm-hmm. You can literally minister to them people and have a sincerity of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, and allow them to be enriched by that sincerity without just formality. You know, formality is a killer, isn't it? The separated life doesn't need formality. It needs the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It needs the spiritual unction, that you know that you're saved and that you have the ability and the fortitude to go and spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ, and spend time in the Word of God by doing that, and spend time with others, being a witness, being a testimony. A separated life will bring you to these things. And so I'll read that scripture to you again and give you some more introduction here, and then I'll have a word of prayer concerning the message itself. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meant for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Just say a few more things here, and then I'll stay on track, all right? Prayer always keeps you on track. As a people of God, God has set us apart unto himself.
Amen.
You've got to understand that. If you're saved here you know that this atmosphere of the camp ministry here is about getting alone with God and being absorbing some of the things that the Lord would have you to absorb, because men come here with the intention of you absorbing it. And the things of God. So as a people of God, God has set us apart unto himself.
Amen.
And you're literally doing that when you come into this camp. As soon as you come into that driveway, you're literally removing yourself from the normal way of life that you live to this camp ministry. And it's a privilege, and it is a comfort. And it's a separation. That's what sanctification means. To be set apart, in particular, to set apart for God. So the particular interest here is to be set apart for God. The saved believer is set apart to be holy unto God. As it says in our text, verse 19, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Isn't that interesting? The Lord knoweth them that are his. I'll back up a little bit here and read. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the Lord knoweth them, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. as important a thing I said to you that as I've said so far, he knows you. And he knows them that are his. Why do we think that we can pull the wool over the Lord's eyes and everyone else's eyes by not being sincere and genuine? You need to understand there is a sincerity to live a separated life. Amen. And it is literally a sanctified life. Amen. And some people have told me that you don't need anything more than to be sanctified when you're saved. But no, Pauline doctrine that I'm teaching you here tells you you've got to literally work on that sanctified life through the Word of God and through the salvation that you've come by. And you need to be separated. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's going to take some work. Amen. You cannot just slide by. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now let me give you a little bit more here. I haven't prayed yet. I got to get you a little bit further into this. The Lord knoweth them that are his. As the people of God, we are separated for holy use.
Amen.
Now, I'm not too far from our church. It's the Holiness Church. and there's a lot of really dedicated people in that church. I mean, I'm not so keen on the Holiness Church, but I'm telling you, they take things serious. But the effective ground of our sanctification is the blood of Christ, the blood of the covenant. Hebrews 9, 12 through 14, I'll read that to you, and then we'll have a word of prayer here. There's nothing greater than the power of that blood, is there?
Amen.
I mean, our redemption wouldn't be possible without it, would it? Redeem how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hebrews 9, 12 through 14. It reads like this. I have to use this old Bible. It's falling apart, but I have to use it. It's got all my notes in it. And a lot of my preaching is what I've learned from others. Amen. But did you know that I'm not just a product of myself? That's not even right to say. I'm literally a product of the ministry of others. Someone witnessed to me. Someone labored with me after I was saved. Someone continued to move me along in the ministry and in even being a family man, you know, or being a laborer. If someone has always ministered to me, so I'm a product of others as well.
Amen.
But I'm mainly sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me read this to you now. Chapter 9, verses 12 through 14. It says like this: neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered and once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, sorry, we'll try and get this on. Keep it on time. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkling and unclean sanctified and purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, he didn't do that so that we could just be saved and then go back to the world. He didn't do that.
Right.
No. This is the perfection of Christ to us. If you miss that for the sanctified life, for a separated life unto him, as a saved individual, you've missed a really important truth and doctrine, and it's the wisdom of God with understanding. You don't want to miss this. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, and by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So, he is the testator. He is the testator, isn't he? I'll leave the rest of that up. But in Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time to minister to these dear folks once again, the separated life. And Lord, it is a real, it is just as much a challenge to minister this in the nursing home as it is to minister here or to church, or even take portions of these truths and cry them out on the street corner, Lord, and to be a personal witness to people, Lord. Lord, I never would have thought I would have met extreme dispensationalists out knocking doors, but I was taught in seminary, Lord, to beware of it. But sure enough, Lord, years later, matter of fact, 38 years later, I knocked on a door, and there was the extreme dispensationalist. They did not. They practiced a right division of Scripture, but they take it too far, Lord, and it becomes nothing but error and heresy, Lord. And I never thought I would ever run into it, but I did. And so, Lord, we need to know that the separated life will prepare you for anything. But if you're not prepared by living the separated life, you're literally like the professional wrestlers. You're set up to be taken down, Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I know that. That is a strange analogy, Lord, but that's exactly what it is. You're set up to be taken down. And Lord, we don't want to be taken down. We want to be lifted up, and we want to be standing on you as good stewards of the Word of God. We want to also be transformed, Lord. Yeah. The transformed life is genuine, and it's a part of the sanctified life to be transformed. And it's, Lord, later on will be translated. Lord, help us understand these things. Yes. The separated life is real, and it is, and it can be applied, and it can be effective if we will allow the sanctified life to be ministered to us. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I thank you for sanctifying me. I know you had the power to do that, and you prayed that you would be sanctified in yourself to sanctify me, Lord. And no one has the power to do that, but you do. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meant for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. It is not easy to live a sanctified life. But as one of the redeemed, we are required to separate ourselves from everything that defiles and live for him who died for us. Amen. So, I had to read that because this is brand new. I don't know why the Lord wants me to be preaching. I'm not warmed up. I haven't warmed up to this. And yet, I had to wrestle with it. I tried to go over it, but I kept wrestling with other things. And then he finally put his finger on it and said, get busy. And so we're going to do that just right now. The foundation to be set apart for God. The foundation to be set apart for God. Separated, sanctified, you need a sanctifier. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read there why he's qualified, don't we? Didn't we? He's qualified, isn't he? So it says so here in Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's the separated life. You need to be separated by someone who's qualified to accomplish that for your soul and for your mind and for your heart and your being.
Yes.
And so he can do that. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. I'm telling you, you have the strength through the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not abandon you to live a sanctified life. But you cannot ignore what he's done for you. You've got to build on the sanctified life after he saves you.
Amen.
And so it says this in John 17 in his high priestly prayer, verse 14 through 19. A lot of this thinking that I have for this message comes from this prayer. And I'm just overwhelmed in gratitude and thankfulness that he would pray this prayer for me.
Thank you, Lord.
And the whole chapter is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But it is his prayer.
Amen.
And he is the testator.
Yes.
But here he has not died, has he?
Right.
He knows, he knew before the foundation of the world that he was going to pray this prayer.
Amen.
But yet, here he is, the anointed one. He has taken on flesh, yet he is God, and he prays this prayer.
Right.
And so let me read this to you. He prays here, start with verse 14, chapter 17. And he goes through here, and I have given them thy word. And that the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
Amen.
So you want to understand who's wrestling for your soul and who's keeping your soul and keeping your spirit. It is one who's praying this prayer.
Mm.
I am not of the world. It's amazing. I've been wrestling with that preaching a message on love not the world. And it all comes back to this prayer again. I know that message is going to have to be different than that of sanctification, but I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. So now the sanctifier and the sanctified come into view, don't they?
Yes.
As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth.
Amen.
Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word.
Amen.
And so I'm not a product of just setting in a service and being saved. Someone was preaching to me.
Yeah.
And I had to hear it.
Yeah.
And so that truth in Romans chapter 10 verse 15 is just as true as it can be.
Amen.
To the one who's receiving it and then is spiritually born again.
Yeah.
And in that hymn book, there's a there's a fascinating song there I marked.
It is amazing. We've been preached to
here this week. You must be born again. Marvel not. I said unto thee, you must be born again. John 3:7. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, ye must be born again. You must be born again is the name of the song. And it gives you the history of a little bit of how the song come about. And so you must be born again. You can't live the separated life without being born again.
Amen.
You must be born again. And so we know that Jesus wants that for us. He wants us to receive him as Savior. He wants us to just look at him as we've been told to do here this week. Just take a look.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many times I've witnessed that and said that. Even in the nursing home, I constantly have a one-on-one witness and ask them, have you taken a look? Mm-hmm. You see, that sets the conversation up. Have you taken a look? You'll never know if they're saved or not until you start that conversation. You really got to start the conversation to know, because some of those people are 80 years old and plus, and there's been people in their 80s get saved.
Yes, sir.
I couldn't baptize them, but they could get saved.
Amen.
And so I'm not discrediting the importance of baptism. It's very important in our church. And I'm preaching, I know, to you guys. I better be saying things right? we lead them to the Lord, and we encourage them to be baptized, but then we also encourage them to be disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a wonderful ministry. A bunch of us are able disciplers, so the pastor doesn't have to do it all. So from the head down, there's people that can disciple people that get saved in our church. So it's salvation, baptism, discipleship. And then if you really want to get a good dose, you can go to our institute in the winter. And so that's what our little church does. Can little ministries be as effective as big ministries and all their different little groups? Yeah. Do you want, you know what I found out about the separated life in these big churches? They hide.
Mm-hmm.
And they've told me so. Isn't that embarrassing?
Sure they do.
They told me they hide.
Mm.
And one of these guys was a friend of mine, a pastor. He retired from being a pastor. And he said he's going to this big church so he can hide. Whoops. I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
But isn't that appalling? The separated life is not that.
Amen.
Now I need to get back on track here. Sorry. But let's move along here. I got to be careful. I know I'm giving you enough of this, but you're on the battleground of a new message. So, hey, I find this interesting. I never know where I'm going to put the new message. It's either going to be the nursing home, the pulpit somewhere, because there's other pulpits that call me to preach, and then or it's going to be here, or it's going to be up the cabin, or some place like that. You know, I never know. Or is it going to be in the truck by myself, right? And so we know that Jesus Christ has the authority and power to sanctify you to be His. He has the authority and power. He's the author of our salvation. He literally there's the power in that blood. He can save you from your sin. He's the only one that can do that. And it doesn't matter if a Muslim that you're witness to says that he's just another prophet. You can tell him he's the only prophet that's not in the grave.
Amen.
That's your key.
Amen.
That's where you get them. They're trying to get you by saying he's just another prophet. But don't you let them do that to you. You just say right back to them, no, he's the only prophet that's not in the grave.
That's right.
Because Muhammad's in the grave. David's in the grave. They're all in the grave except the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there were some that were translated, and some of those that were translated appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. That is an amazing subject in itself, isn't it? So I won't go there. I will stick with the sanctified life. You need to live the sanctified life. Leviticus 20:26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. Amen. So the Old Testament laid this statute down, laid down this law. It's literally a law, and it's literally taught. And we as Christians here today, we got to understand that we are not our own. And someone's going to witness to us what to do with the separated life. And so a lot of my separated life was step by step by step. And so because someone was working with me and working on me. Dr. Lucilius really worked on me. Get that right! and he was really on me. He really got it down into my heart. He really loved me. He wanted me to get it right. And so 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. Let's go to there now. 1 Corinthians 1:2, go back to Corinthians. You got the idea that I like to spend time in Corinthians? Yeah. I don't know why, because I love the other books too. I love the Gospels. And then, but I, for some reason, this book's getting me to where I need to go. Because, see, they were transformed to live the sanctified life. But they had someone that was really working on them. And so, here we go. Verse 2 here. I'll go back to 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and soft the knees, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it continues on there, doesn't it? But we know that we're to be sanctified. We know that we're to have a sanctified life. We know these believers, the importance of Paul's teaching here was to have a sanctified life. Jesus prayed that he could sanctify us, and that we would be sanctified unto him. We would be sanctified to be holy and be severed from other people, that ye should be mine. And that is so precious. Do you understand the love and the sincerity of the prayer and the conduct of the Lord Jesus Christ to go to a cross and to become the testator of all these truths, and it is sealed under the New Testament covenant? Oh man, you got to understand, you have to be a part of this separated life to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And so there is no greater sufficiency to sanctify you than that of Jesus Christ by his self-consecrated consecration. So you got that going. But you also need to understand that Paul is not going to give up on you, and neither are other people going to give up on you. Dr. Lucilius never gave up on me. Dr. Dickerson, none of them gave up on me. Not even David Morse. Now, and Randy Bain, he goes back a ways. And so we know that I am not the product of the sanctified life unto myself. I have to have someone come and bear upon me the truths of God that they knew, and they were living the sanctified life. And that's exactly what's going on here. And so the sanctified life continues on, and it builds. It builds up. So the first stanza of complete in thee, no work of mine may take dear Lord the place of mine. Amen. Hymn writer knew something about sanctification. You can touch sanctification in unbelief. Now listen to me. You can touch sanctification and unbelief.
It is only a small time. Now, you're not saved, not under the blood. You're not complete in the Lord Jesus, being made complete in the Lord Jesus Christ and the will of God. It's a formality.
Mm-hmm. And it's dangerous.
Yeah. It's dangerous.
It's so dangerous that you could be a pastor and be in that formality.
Right. You know. Mm-hmm.
But the thing about that is, it's dangerous to those that need to be saved.
Mm-hmm. It's dangerous to those who need further sanctification and further growth. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous. But the most damage is that you're not complete in the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. And so it's dangerous to go through the formality of sanctification. In other words, you need to be bought with a price to know both the union of the sanctifier and the sanctification. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So I just wrote it down there. All right? So if you want to go there, you can read it for yourself. And I got to watch the time here. Oh, that clock is fixed now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Never mind. Okay.
Amen.
All right. We're done with that. I got you through the first point. I don't know how I'm going to handle this for later on. But 1 Corinthians 7:14 is the conclusion of that first part of the message, the separated life and being separated through the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know who is qualified to separate you, and he has the authority of the salvation you've come by. In 1 Corinthians 7:14, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by his wife." This is an interesting thing I read concerning this study of this message. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes we run into this in our ministries. The not both spouses are saved. Yet they bring their children to church. They're in with their Sunday school teacher. They're out in the auditorium made to be quiet and to be reverent. And to honor God in their life, they're being shown how to come to Christ to be saved, even though they're not saved. Yet, it might be the wife that's saved, and she's sanctified, and it may have the privilege of bringing the whole family underneath that sanctification. I've seen it happen.
Yeah,
and so what Paul wrote is true. I've seen it happen. And so that's interesting, isn't it? I threw that in there thinking that, hey, it's not always the way we want it.
Right.
But the grace of God will win out.
Amen.
The mercy of God will win out.
Right.
And so that's a fascinating truth that's in the scriptures concerning the sanctified life. Let grace reign. Let grace reign. The Lord knoweth them that are his. So now, the favor to sanctify yourself. The favor to sanctify yourself. The vessel of honor has the position, 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21, to sanctify themselves. So some people don't agree with me on this. I believe you got a lot of work to do once you're saved in the sanctified life. I think this. If you follow the scriptures here, and I give you a taste of it, you got to get busy with that sanctified life and start building on it. And so 2 Timothy 2:20, maybe you got to erase some things that you've been doing that you shouldn't be doing, right?
Right.
Or maybe that you make an adjustment and do something greater that you should be doing better in concerning that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and being his servant and being the one of the beloved. So 2 Timothy 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Isn't that it? Let me see what's going on here. No, that was Galatians 2:20.
Yes.
Sorry. Galatians 2:20. Don't erase it, just put it in the right place, right? 2:20. Trying to get out of that, wasn't it? 2:20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meant for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Oh, isn't that precious? We can live the separated life, but we're going to have to work on it. Now we're in the work of it. We know that it is applied to us, the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we're going to have to labor on it. The vessel of honor has this position, 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. The believer has the responsibility. Oh, when I quoted Galatians 2:20, that is a sanctified
Amen.
Life
yes,
scripture. Okay, that's so sorry about that. But the believer has the responsibility to separate themselves from defilement. And so that's one of the precious privileges of this camp. You, as soon as you come through there, it is not shoving the world at you. Now, we know that there has been some ministries down here that they're not like that, are they? They violate the privilege. But nonetheless, we don't have to ignore the truth of this camp. It does not violate the privilege of living this separated life. It does not violate the holiness. It does not violate you can be alone with the Lord, and you can be ingratiated with His righteousness, ingratiated with His justification, ingratiated with His regeneration, ingratiated with His illumination.
Amen.
And now I don't know all the terms of that like he does. And he does. And Brother Andy here, I just know how to preach it. I would literally have to study it in order to know the technical points of it. But I know it's true, what I'm saying to you. It is your responsibility to shun ungodliness. 1 Timothy 2:16 says it like this. We got a lot to handle because so many ministries in this Laodicean church age are bringing the world into to their ministries. Mm-hmm. And they're mocking us that won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we will not bring in contemporary music into our church. It is forbidden. Even the young people do not approve of it. They love what is being handled there with the old hymns and the doctrinal hymns. And so we know that not everyone, even in this Laodicean church age, will bring the world into the church, but they're doing it, aren't they? And so we know this is happening here like this, 1 Timothy 2:16. We know that it is, oh, this isn't right, is it?
I
must mean second, huh? Where am I at here? Oh my. Okay, let's try that. I think a little digit there problem, right? Oh yes, we gotta go back, don't we? But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philemus, or Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Okay.
All right, I just had to get back through that with you, all right? The Holy Spirit will work with you to be living vessels, to be the new man in Christ, sanctified, meant for the master's use. How do we know? There's a dual teaching on that, isn't it? The Holy Spirit goes after us with that truth in the Scriptures, but the Lord Jesus Christ goes after us with that truth. He tells us in John 15 to abide in the vine. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, you can't do this by yourself. You got to abide in the vine. And so, but I want to stay with Romans 15, 16. I hope you're getting something out of this.
Amen.
If 15:16. This is my next nursing home message, but I just feel the Lord just, I don't know, he's putting his finger on it. I'm going to do it. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And so you're not left unto yourself. Not by the triune God, not by the script word of God, and not by those who know the Lord and are sanctified themselves. They know who that they're sanctified and the sanctifier, and they want you to be the same. They want you to have the same pattern. They want you to have the same mind. These words are in the Scripture. The word pattern and mind are followed in the Scriptures and the mindset that I'm giving it to you. And so I'm not being phony with you. You can live the sanctified life. The Holy Spirit will work with you to be living vessels, to be the new man in Christ, sanctified, meant for the master's use, Romans 15, 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I had to read it from there to make sure that I wrote down it here, because this is brand new. I just, something about this, I didn't go over it. I just sat there and said, is that what you want, Lord? And the favor to sanctify yourself, to honor God with your life, is through Christ.
Amen.
It is a mediatorial work.
Yeah.
The favor is through Christ. It is a mediatorial work. The favor is the Holy Spirit. Guide, correct, direct.
Amen.
Even convict.
Amen.
And even the depth of that conviction, if you're not saved, to repent.
Yes.
Repentance is one of the key elements in Scripture to bring you to the sanctifier and the sanctified life. Otherwise, it is just a formality.
Amen.
And you don't want that. The favor to sanctify yourself, to honor God with your life, is through the Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. Now, point number three. I don't have to do that. I got just a few minutes here. Foundation, favor, fortitude. Foundation, favor, fortitude. Christ has taken the authority to sanctify you.
Amen.
We got that down, didn't we? Christ has given you the favor to sanctify yourself. Paul was one of his key apostles, and he's the only apostle to the Gentiles, but he was the key to these doctrinal truths like sanctification, regeneration, justification. I mean, this man had it down, didn't he? God ironed it out in his heart so that he could speak to us how to live the sanctified life. I can tell you that I live the sanctified life, and I'm not ignorant of how to do that because of others.
Amen.
Not only because I'm saved, not only because I have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and I'm directly a product of His mediatorial work, but there is others.
Amen.
Who love the Lord and live the sanctified life.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you know the first time I read about George Mueller and read his ministry, that I was just overwhelmed how he could pray like that?
Amen.
That's the sanctified life. That man was really an influence upon me and the importance of prayer. Christ has given you the favor to sanctify yourself. Christ has also sanctified you to be separate. So foundation, favor, fortitude. Christ has also fortified you to be separate.
Amen.
So 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. I just got just a minute here. 2 Corinthians, and then I'll be quiet, okay? 2 Corinthians here. Well, I've got to get these guys over to the Tim, because it's not fair to him. Just this much, okay? Chapter 6, 14 through 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Man, you talk about the sanctified life. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, Lord, thank you for this time to be with these dear people. I have to let them go, but I know that I have to live the sanctified life, Lord. I have a responsibility to live it. You separated me. You sanctified me, Lord. You had the authority to do so, but now, Lord, where the rubber meets the road is that I have to be separated from a world that is corrupt and from a people that are corrupt, Lord. Yet I have to have this sanctified life to be a testimony to them so that they can be saved, so that they can know the sanctified life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I got to let you go.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Brother Earl. A challenge that we all need as believers to be sanctified and separated unto our God. I'm grateful for the Word of God.